Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Again, basement dwellers, nerds of all kind, welcome back into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds episode 273 here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It is me, your good friend, your host today, Big Dave. Dave, the Attitude of Aggression, Bandwagon Nerds, a couple other projects coming down the pike that, you know, it's going to be a busy while for some. I know. Oh, Tunney's head is blown already. Our fearless leader under the weather today. So we decided, yeah, we'll give you the day off. I mean, go get better, Pat, you know. So we're recording this a little bit early because... You know what they say about sympathy? It falls between shit and syphilis in the dictionary. So there you go.
Oh, I was about to say, you were talking about little Sympathy Jones that stayed down the street?
I wasn't talking about that. Who? 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 Anyway, we got championship football games going on. And unfortunately, only one of our teams is still alive, and it's the least likely out of all of them.
Shots fired,
too
Ray.
Soon. I'm not just shooting shots at Ray. I mean, you guys.
If our teams weren't in the same state, then I would feel differently. But we're in the same damn state. We're literally 100 miles away.
Well, yeah, technically, that's true. Until we get to move back to the district. So, yeah, we got Commanders Eagles. We got Bills Chiefs. I know my nephew's a Bills fan. One of the guys I work with is a Bills fan. I'm definitely rooting for the Bills. We'll see what happens. But let me welcome the other guys in here. You already heard him. The voice of Ravens Nation that... what can you say?
Well, that's Shaq and the Hawks. If you watch inside the NBA, we need a different call.
Or that's like, isn't that like Joe Dirt talking to that one chick? I'm a wild ass pterodactyl.
My boy took it back. Joe Dirt.
Yeah, Joe Dirt.
Wow.
Joe Dirt.
Hey,
you're my sister. Check
that off your bandwagon nerds bingo card. Joe Dirt reference.
That's right. Before a wrestling reference. How about that?
Well, we did have a whole 20-minute wrestling talk before we got on the call, got it out. Hey, I'm Ray Cash, everybody. Nice to meet you.
And it's Ray Cash.
Hey, Tony, you got that boo button handy?
Sure.
For Ray?
I mean, but you want to boo Ray?
Yeah, he earned it yesterday on a Swaggy Award.
Well, if it tell you something, brother.
Oh, yeah. We are fresh off recording the Swaggy Awards part deux, or two, if you don't speak French, or have never watched Hot Shots, or just want to be a dick about it. It's two. So it was a good time, a great episode. You guys were fantastic as always. Ray, I feel bad about the Ravens, man, but I'm glad you're here to talk nerdy stuff with us.
Cause, come on, man.
And
I'm pulling for your boys. I am pulling for the commies.
That's right. Go commies. We need to send that to our president. Say, hey, look, go commies and see what he does with that.
Wait a minute. Wait, let's not talk about that.
No, president. Although I'm waiting for the JFK files, man. He's releasing all that stuff. I'm kind of curious what the hell is going to be in there. But so I big conspiracy theorist that I am. Speaking of conspiracy theories, Tony, how the hell you doing, man? What's happening, buddy? You ready for all the shenanigans today?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Dave. I'm ready for some football. I'm ready for some nerds talk. I'm ready for, I'm not ready for Monday morning, but that's all of us.
Yeah, it's hard to be ready for Monday. I mean, they just kind of creep up and kick you in the nuts. Anyway, we got an interesting show today, mostly news heavy. We got a couple of trailers that we're going to get to right about now, as soon as our good friend Raymond S. Cashington Prime, Ray Prime, is here again. Ray, which Deathgrass banjo are we going to get this week?
Number 87.
Do you have an 8 or a 7?
We'll just play this one.
Okay. Did the Dropkick Murphys get a banjo player or I mean, that's kind of what that sounded very Irish.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe inspired. I don't know. It had banjos in it. So we pulled it.
I dig it. It was good.
Don't
stuff.
Pick 87 next time.
Yeah. Well, Ray will never pick a number less than 10. So it puts us in a bind.
Oh, right? I'll do better. I mean, well, look at how many down variants I got. I don't work with small numbers, apparently.
No, that's what she said. Sure. But anyway.
So. Wow.
Sorry, Ray. Or no, I'm not sorry. I mean, that's what you are.
Shut up, my little friend!
All 2,097 of them, huh?
Yeah, all 2,097 of them. Trailer Park is pretty slim this week. Not a lot happening out there. Everybody's kind of like waiting for... It seems like February to get here because a lot of stuff's happened in February. But we did get a couple trailers. One of them that I found, I didn't even post it in the thing, so you guys are the only ones who saw it. But we reviewed the first trailer for this movie a couple months ago. And now we've got a second trailer, which gives us a little bit more information about what's going on. Mickey 17, starring our good friend Robert Pattinson. Well, I'll pretend that he's our good friend. We like him. Plenty fine as Batman and all this other... Eh. But this trailer adds a whole new element to this kind of thing. It's like, wow, you know, so shit was going bad for you and you just signed up to be an expendable. And I guess that means that, and this looks like it's got one hell of a 3D printer because it can just print people out and keep printing them out again. I mean, that's, wow.
This is a movie actually based on the hidden section of the Thunderdome in DP's basement that he has 3D printing people. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to tell anybody, but he's late on his payments this month. So
he's late on his payments this month. Well, he did get absconded yesterday. So, I mean, that's kind of rough when you're I hate these random abscondings. Yeah.
Thank God he had a thesaurus with him so he could explain it better to us.
Yeah.
I thought I had all the variants, but DP has it in his basement. Good to know.
Yes. You got to. You never know what's happening in the Thunderdome.
Where do you think we got all these Ray variants from?
You well, how did you get them from me? Y'all haven't physically met me yet.
We got the Men in Black memory eraser.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned.
We sent little people into your room at night. They got some DNA samples, and yeah, you don't remember it. It's all right.
Oh boy, I don't know. I want to finish this anymore.
It was like you feel like the dude's on Invincible.
Yeah. Exactly. Ray, I'll let you finish this. What did you think of this this second trailer for Mickey 17? Any more interested? This is coming pretty soon, March 7th.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun trailer. Like it. I'm glad that it didn't take itself so seriously. A lot of sci-fi takes itself way too seriously, and it was fun. It was funny. Robert Pattinson seemed like he was having a blast playing the role, or all 17 of the roles.
His character seems quirky, like, and lighthearted in the face of death, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was, like, the cool part of what I got, and I didn't see Batman at all, which was great.
No, and I think, like Ray said, if he's playing 17 different, I mean, it really gives him a chance to let loose with all of his acting prowess, you know, because, like, you're playing 17 different versions of yourself with different personalities, and then it gets interesting when, like, two of them are left over, and they're called multiples, right? And then it's like, we've got to prune these guys out of here. How do you want to die? One at a time? You want to do it all at once? And Mark Ruffalo looks like an evil son of a bitch in this movie.
He looks a little like forget the bigness of it, but just the style. Looks a little bit like Stanley Tucci in Hunger Games, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. It did have that kind of Hunger Games sort of element. You do learn that Mickey has a girlfriend who has apparently stayed by his side through all of the incarnations of him, the reproductions of him. It's going to be an interesting movie. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, we do have, like, all bullshitting aside, they are apparently using some 3D printing mechanism to make multiple versions of him. So I don't know how that works. Tony, what do you think?
You actually kind of see the guy come out of, like, a human printer. It has like flaps and everything to kind of slow him down as he comes out of the side of the machine. The few thoughts I had, I kind of just was put in there one in the middle of Ray, his thoughts. It's just, it looks fun. It really does. I'm really happy because I'd like to become a fan of Robert Pattinson's work that he's going to continue to do, because he's going to continue to do a lot of work, right? He's not going to just do Batman. He's going to do other stuff, which is great, because that means we're gonna have more space between Batman too, I think, and I really like that. So yeah, I think my biggest takeaway was how I said before, he's so lighthearted in the face of death. Like, it mentions, like, finally the 17th one or something, he just didn't care anymore. So cast looks awesome too, so I'll definitely check this out when it comes to streaming.
Yeah. And Warner Brothers needs a movie like this right now.
They sure do. They sure do. I mean, we're going to talk Warner Brothers a lot more later on. But I think if you're still one of these folks out there who associate Robert Pattinson with glistening in the sunlight and vampires and all that sort of stuff, he's moved so far beyond that you really need to kind of just, I mean, and that's not to take anything away from what the work he did in Twilight, which was, for what it was, phenomenal. Even if I'm not the biggest fan, and probably none of us are the biggest fans, but yeah, you got to look at him completely differently, because he has stepped out of that and has been involved in so many tremendous roles, and not just Batman. Some of the other ones that I can't remember. I know he's been in some really good stuff, but I think a movie like this really shows what he can
do. Done a ton of rom coms. Been like Kim and Kristen Stewart actually have done great work, whether you like them or not. They've done a lot of big and great movies, roles and stuff. But Twilight was so big that we forget Pattinson is a Harry Potter kid. Cedric Diggory. Yeah, and he wasn't just like phenomenal. A random kid.
No,
he was a major part of the movie.
And his, yeah, no, he was a major, and I know, Tony, have you seen the Harry Potter movies? You haven't seen them, have you?
No, I have not. My sister watched them, and I was 7.5 years older than my sister. She started watching them, and I was like, oh, that's kind of dorky, and I never watched them.
It is interesting what Ray's talking about, because it is the death of Robert Pattinson's character, Cedric Diggory, that turns that entire series from very kid-friendly to we are dealing with some real serious fucking issues right now. It's not dark, but, you know, up until that moment, right? And Ray, you've seen all the movies. But up until that...
No, I thought all of them, but most, a good portion of them, yeah.
Yeah. Up until that moment, it was very kind of friendly, jovial. It was very kid-oriented. And that one moment, and Cedric, I mean, Robert Pattinson killed that role. But when Cedric dies, that whole franchise, the direction, the feel, the atmosphere, the tenor of everything changed. That's how I associated him for a long time, as Cedric, not as Edward Cullen. Anyway, that's not
it. It looks like he has more projects coming out this year. The Drama and Die My Love, and then probably the biggest movie he's been in that's not Twilight or Batman or Harry Potter. He was in Tenet.
He was. That's right. He does a few too many rom-coms for me, but I mean, they pay, so I'm not mad.
I think he's still trying to figure out what Tenet was about, and he was in the movie.
Yeah.
Nolan can't tell you what it's about, yeah. So I don't think that they can either.
I just did it's some random generator. Yeah, let's.
What do you see? It's a dinghy.
Speaking of random shit, let's talk about our second trailer, Opus. This is an A24 movie. It's coming out to movie theaters a week after Mickey 17 comes out, March 14th. It's got John Malkovich in it, and as big as a fan as I am of his, I have no idea what the hell is happening in this movie, in this trailer. Do you guys have any idea what's going on?
You want to know what this makes me think of? Something we've covered right here on this very show.
Okay.
Ralph Fiennes, The Menu. He did the same thing. He invited people to come to his restaurant to make them a performance, a food performance, right? And now this is this crazy fucking pop star who's made a comeback, who's invited these people to his fucking compound for what looks like, I mean, Malkovich is the perfect guy for this. This is looks hilarious. Like, it looks like it's really well done. I'm going to be watching it on streaming. What's the young actress's name that's playing the lead role?
Ayo Adebri, I believe. I know it's Ayo, yeah.
She had me hooked in on wanting to know what's going on with her character right away. The fact that she had to shave the kitty cat to go to the performance was kind of crazy. Like, you know, you're dealing with some weird shit. And then, you know, John Malkovich being so demonstrative and overdramatic in the aisle that the customers are unhappy that I'm not performing. So I think this is going to be another cult classic from this brand of movies.
Well, I mean, A24 is the Carmelo Hayes of studios. They don't miss. So you got to figure that they're going to get this one right as well. Ray, what do you think, man?
Tony actually said the best part. He doesn't even realize he said it. It's going to be a cult classic. Well, it's about a cult. So it was perfect. That's the perfect wording. It has to be, right? I have a weird fascination with cults. I was once engaged, and my ex-fiance actually joined a cult, and we were finally able to get her out of that. I'll explain it to you guys off air, but that's a real thing. A very legitimate. I would not say that on air if that wasn't real. But they're just so fascinating to me. It's probably the reason why I was so fascinated with the original incarnation of the Bray Wyatt character. I don't know. Don't talk too much wrestling, or else Patrick's going to hit the K button somewhere from wherever he is.
16 minutes and 44.
We got out the way. But that's the most interesting part about this to me. John Malkovich is the man. AO is fantastic. I love how the first thing she writes in her journalistic book is fair enough. Fair enough. Can I read it all out?
Oh, yeah, please do. Absolutely.
So apparently the leader of this nice little cult has told us that we're all in a cult right now, a.k.a. thechairshot.com.
Wow.
But I love the first thing she says is he's a weird greeter.
I'm just saying, when Tony starts sending us Kool-Aid, you might want to send it back. Go ahead.
It's from Greg.
Or really nice Nikes.
Why you guys send the black dude Kool-Aid?
It was, and just go on.
What's up, bro?
God damn.
Ray, hold on. Just to make you feel uncomfortable for a split second.
Just a little bit. No, it looks fantastic. A24 does not miss. They, like you said, they don't miss. Everything they do is fire. Just continuing to give new ideas, fresh ideas, new concepts. And John Malkovich is always, he's goated, right? But he hadn't done much in a while. Like, they keep reinventing people, like Hugh Laurie. What's the rom-com guy in Heretic?
Hugh Grant.
We ain't never seen him like that. You know, like, they just continue to flip what we think is conventional on its heads. I love A24, man. I can consider watching this in a theater. Like, I'm that excited about this.
Both of these trailers, it's weird. We got two trailers, but they're both like newer ideas. It's not like rewrapped, reprocessed bullshit. You know, it looks like it's got quality content with good casts and, you know, solid foundation behind it.
God knows Hollywood needs that. I mean, we've been bitching for years about retread, reboot. Let's do a live action remake of an animated movie because I don't have any better fucking idea. So now you've got, and listening to you guys talk has got me thinking, okay, I need to
Disney later. Don't worry.
What's that?
Don't worry. We're going to bitch at Disney later about something else.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But yeah, I think like listening to you guys talk about this has made me think, you know what? I need to rewatch this trailer and pick up a few things. Cause I was just like, what is going on here? It felt like, yeah, I guess it's the menu meets get him to the Greek. Yeah, that sort of thing going on.
Like, you call it the concert or whatever. I don't know, the performance or whatever.
By the way, Get Him to the Greek, massively underrated comedy. Part of that you kind of can't enjoy the same way knowing what we know now about a certain person in that movie.
Why you got to go there, Ray? I mean, first you talk about Kool-Aid, now you're going there. Jeez.
You know what? I like, I can't remember the comedian's name, and he comes on. No. I'm talking about something else I seen that's of relates to this. And he's like, man, that Michael Jackson documentary. He goes, y'all watch that? How can you listen to Michael Jackson's music? He goes, me personally, I didn't watch it. So I was, you know, Thriller on the way over here. No big deal. Like, it was okay. You didn't know, but if you know, now you can't enjoy it.
Hey, I don't need any details, right? That's what a lot of people think.
Some weird people in the world. That's all I got to say, kids, including the three of us. Before we go to our first commercial break, do we have you guys done anything about getting tickets for Captain America? Or are we only a few weeks away? Date night.
So Tony, you said you were going to look at tickets and see what they look like, the selling wise.
Yeah, I can do that right at this very moment. If you guys give me a second, I'm still waiting to hear back from a few people to see how many tickets I'm going to be purchasing. But this takes like a matter of seconds. Watch, if you guys want
to watch this, Ray, he's going to accidentally get tickets to the Royal Rumble because he's looking at too many things. And he's shit, I'm going to have to go to Indy now.
Damn, I just bought WrestleMania tickets. I got a flight to Vegas. What happened?
I'll pick you up at the airport, buddy. I will be there, buddy. You don't have to worry about a thing. I got the hotel covered, all that shit. You guys,
I'm
open invitation.
Well, don't say that, because I'll vagabond my way over there, bro. Like, show some leg.
If you can get about like Salt Lake City or something, AJ can kind of transport you half the way.
Sure. And I'll get the rest of the way. Just have cheers. Have people get me.
Ray is a chain letter as we just take him all the way across the country.
Get to Phoenix. Greg will get me from to Salt Lake.
That's right.
AJ will get me from Salt Lake.
And I'll get you in Vegas. We got it covered, buddy. This is perfect.
Boy, it's funny.
There's a couple of the main shows, like Friday night at like 7 and 8 o'clock, are about a third full. When I would go on Saturday is maybe like a fifth. So I would say this is less at this time than there was for Beetlejuice in my area.
I don't know if we can read anything. It's just
because we're about two weeks out.
Next week's about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Two and a half weeks. We'll see. Next weekend will be the real telltale, because then you're less than 2 weeks out. So.
And February will finally be. We'll see, guys.
I'm definitely going to go that morning by myself, but I'll probably go multiple times because I know my kids may want to go. I got a homeboy I see all the Marvel movies with. He may want to go with me. But I'm going like probably Friday morning by myself.
I noticed, Tony, he didn't invite you or I to go, but
y'all want to come next time, but I'll pay for the tickets.
For the airline? You're paying for the airfare?
No, just the movie ticket. I'll even get you the big popcorn.
You forget, you're talking to a lawyer, so you better be clarifying these things, right?
I'll send you the contract and email. You'll get it. DocuSign.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take our first commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk Neil Gaiman can't catch a break, nor does he deserve one. Some DC news. I even wore just for you, Ray. Look,
I need to work better. I need to hate a little harder. I need to hit some Reverse Flash type.
I wore my Superman Adventure Comic shirt just for Ray. We got some DC news in this first half, and we also have we are going to be talking about, you know, these fucking streaming services. They just can't get enough of our money. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the commercial. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. Before we hit the commercial, Tony, let people know where they can get their hands on some cool-ass Chairshot merch.
Yeah, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check that out. Plenty of great designs, like Dave said. Make you look like the belle of the ball wherever you're headed in wrestling land. Plenty of things that'll catch everybody's attention when you're out there. Get it in a short sleeve, get a tank top, a long sleeve, a hoodie. Get it in soft style. Feels good on your nipples. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. When we return, more of Bandwagon Nerds. Nerds, nerds.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Bandwagon Nerds. Guys, I got to say, I do like the rundown this week because we've got little bits to talk about in what I consider the big three of Bandwagon Nerds. Marvel, got a little Marvel news. We got some... Thank you. That's usually a good time. Somebody who's not having a good time, though, is Neil Gaiman. And the allegations against him become worse every time that we hear more about them. And the ramifications of those allegations continue to spiral and get worse for Mr. Gaiman. Dark Horse has cut ties with him. Dark Horse Comics has been affiliated with Neil Gaiman since day one. You know, just about most of his stuff, he's done Sandman and all these other projects. They've all come from there. They've cut ties with him. It looks like some of the projects he was working on are very much now up in the air. And I mean, not to say he doesn't deserve it, but you know, Dark Horse Comics put out the tweet or whatever you want to call it nowadays. Dark Horse takes seriously the allegations against Neil Gaiman, and we are no longer publishing his works. That means that, you know, stuff like the Sandman and other things he's written are going to become collector's items, I guess. And Nasty Boys comic series and collective volume have been canceled. And that's what, ending at 7 issues. We've got, let's see. So I'm trying to look through this. Okay. So we've got the TV adaptation of Good Omens is now, Amazon said, fuck all this, 90-minute special. That's going to be the end of it. We don't know how Netflix is going to handle Sandman's second season. I have a strong suspicion it will never see the light of day. I don't care how much filming of it has been done. I don't think they're going to go forward with that. There's too much smoke, too much heat on this Neil Gaiman story. Tony, I'll go to you first, man. What do you think about this? It's a shitty situation, but you know, he has brought it on himself. I know he's denying all these allegations, but man, there's too much smoke here.
Yeah. As far as analyzing it, why all this is happening, like you said, there's just a lot of smoke. Like, this isn't just like, oh, you know, we can take care of this. This doesn't look like it's take careable. I think first and foremost, you know, you feel bad and are concerned about the people affected by this negative behavior and their friends and family. But you know, that's obvious, right? That's the biggest thing. And then secondarily, to more about what we talk about, is the fans and the people that were working on these projects that are not going to be able to do these projects as, you know, as working in Hollywood, you know, that get cut because of this, and the fans don't get, you know, these shows that they were looking forward to. Some of them, you know, having seasons already and now getting a quick cut short. But yeah, if everything is true, the first and foremost thing is just feel, bad for the victims and their friends and family and the people affected directly.
No, you're exactly right. And I think that's the important thing, is that you don't lose sight of the,
reading the allegations right now.
Yes. I didn't know anything about this.
I just kind of recognize him, like, kind of being utterly disturbed by what the allegations are.
Are you on the vault? Are you looking at the Vulture?
So I looked at that article, but it didn't say what the allegations were. I looked at the allegations, and I like, my spirit is messed up right now, dog. Like, that, I had no idea about it. In fact, the only reason I know this dude's name is because Patrick loves the show so much.
We both did. We love the Sandman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that and Patrick loves Good Omens or whatever, I think. Him and DP watched that.
And American Gods got really big on Stars because that was the show that got really... You guys might not have heard of it, but I know in the Black community it was a big thing when Orlando Jones did that like crazy 5-minute monologue that essentially got him fired, but it was like super, super controversial or whatever.
So if you don't know the allegations and you're listening right now and you go to search them, just be aware that they're not like I could tell he like visibly is like upset about it. So just be cautioned if you're going to go do that. And you
not
don't
for the faint of heart. Not
no, for they're heart. They're as bad as you can really kind of imagine.
And I don't think we need to really expound upon it anymore.
No,
than we are.
I don't even want to
look it up
it.
Yourself if you said. But just
I
ahead,
do.
No, and just know, you know, if it actually happened, this is horrible.
I do have a question for you though, Dave. You mentioned that you think Sandman season 2 is done. I understand it's intrinsically connected to this dude, but you don't think. I mean, and I'm not, please, those of you listening, please forgive the fact that this is going to sound like a compare and contrast. It's not. But I'm just thinking of X-Men and what Bo DiMaggio, the situation with him. And not only did they finish a season, but they went on and they're working on the second one. You can kind of extract him from the show because he had nothing to do with the show. It was just based on his works, right? Do you think that show has to die because of what he did? Allegedly did?
I think there was enough like issues with the show in season 2 and enough uncertainty about what they were doing with it that they may just say fuck it. It's not worth the hassle. And you got to look like this is a Netflix show. And like you and I were messaging earlier this week that day that Netflix opened up like up 13%. Netflix shares are like $900. Or it was like $900 a share the other day. WWE shares are only like 200. So if you're a company like Netflix who's riding a wave of all this profitability, take that chance? Yeah, I think it just, you know, you run the risk of putting that out there and having such a negative kickback from a lot of your fan base that'd be like, why the fuck are we doing this? I think the allegations against Bo DiMaggio are, you know, pretty egregious as well. I don't know if they rise to the stuff that is accused of against Gaiman.
Yeah. And the comparison is a terrible. I'm not trying to make the. I'm sorry. I apologize sincerely for the comparison even being brought up or made. I just am thinking of a creator who had controversially was involved in some or possibly involved in some stuff and taken away from the project, but the project kept going. That's the only reason I brought that up. Yeah, I apologize for that.
Go ahead, Tony.
It's like sins are. It's to kind of. So I'll tread lightly here as I'm going to bring a religion comparison in.
Oh,
but
shit.
I know we're getting the double whammy this weekend. So sins
Patrick
are
is loving this.
Sins are sins, right? They all count as sins, great or small, but recognizably some are egregiously worse than others.
Sure.
And I think like with X-Men, you know, we knew something happened, but it took a long time to even find out what the hell had happened. And by then, X-Men 97 was a huge runaway success. Sandman was successful, but not to that level. And I think that might color some of this where they're going to say, yeah, it's a good show. It was really successful. Do we really? I think Netflix has got it. They're going to be looking at this thing from a financial standpoint. And do we take that chance?
Netflix has canceled more popular shows anyway.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they've got, you have a very short leash at Netflix. If they smell anything off color or off kilter, they're like, nope, you're done. Of course, they also allowed a third season of Lock and Key to go out. But you know what? And a fourth season of Witcher coming up. So, you know, I mean.
Tony's favorite shows.
Unless it's, you know, courting the show Kill Tony from YouTube over to Netflix, you know, they're okay with that.
Hey, they also brought Cobra Kai from YouTube to Netflix.
Oh, I don't know if it's happening, Ray. I know that they were at one of the specials, but and I just was saying that, yeah, if you've never watched a Kill Tony show, it's bringing back the completely unpolitically correct form of comedy.
Well, let's
and leave. If you can laugh yourself, then you really can enjoy it. That's my opinion there.
Tony Hinchcliffe is in the news. You'll know. Yeah. So just leave it.
Let's leave this depressing stuff behind and go to something that Tony and I are very excited about, but it's going to depress Ray a little bit more because, okay, he's breaking out something. Whiteboarding. I don't know what this. Yep. Here we go. We got news this week from James Gunn himself, who posted a screenshot of filming has begun on Supergirl. We've got some casting news. They're filling out the cast. Miley Alcock, I think that's her name, right, Tony? Did I pronounce that right? Correct me.
Millie Alcock?
Yeah, yeah. Millie Alcock, I called her Miley Cyrus. Oh, God, that's hers. Anyway, all we got was the back of her head in the Supergirl director chair. Remember, this is the girl who showed up on the set of Superman in a Supergirl costume for her audition for this role. So she has been immersed in this whole thing the whole way. It has begun filming. We're looking at, I think it's a 2026 release, if everything goes well, and we'll see what's going to happen with Superman. But, you know, you're talking about, you've got, she's in this thing. You've got Krypto's going to be back in this thing. And I mean, we've speculated about Krypto's involvement. Kara Zor-El, of course, the last survivor of Krypton, that sort of thing. Ray is ecstatic that we've begun filming on Supergirl.
Let's pray first so we can see what his whiteboard's got going on.
What is your whiteboard saying, Ray? Do we... what?
Sell a hate, good times, come on.
Ray, why are you so anti-Supergirl? I mean, she's not Superman. I know you hate Superman, but why are you anti-Supergirl too? It's just a Kryptonian thing. It's racial, isn't it? Look. You hate people. You hate people who grew up in bottles. Is that it? Is that what's going on? Well,
first and foremost, if I can invoke the name of my brother Chris Platt, technically all the Kryptonians should be black folk because they get their power from the sun. I'm just saying, that's melanin. So Chris Platt would not let me make it if I didn't mention that. No, in all seriousness.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I wish Dan was here because he would have played the clip of Chris going, "Mama, maybe mash my M&Ms."
In all seriousness, I like to mess with you about Superman and the Kryptonian things. I don't hate the idea of a Supergirl movie, but I don't like that it's so early. I understand the Lobo thing and it's whatever, and popular actors, cool. This is going to bother you, and I'm sorry, Dave. Supergirl is not intrinsic to the DC universe. She's a secondary character to me. She's one of the most important secondary characters, but she is not intrinsic to the DC universe. So I am just flabbergasted at why he is so intent on building this universe off of all these people who don't mean a figgity fuck to the future of the universe.
Figgity fuck is back, Tony.
Can we just actively discuss this, right?
Please.
Can jump in if you want to yell at me for anything. I think it's brilliant. If I'm perceiving about what's about to happen with what they're going to do here, is I think they want to add depth to Superman by showing you that there is going to probably be turmoil between him and this character. While they get along, they're probably going to be doing things in different ways. And I think it's perfect way to add depth to Superman because he's not just dealing with the people that are his foes, but the people that are his allies that aren't doing things the way he may want them to do or to the caliber of morality. Right. Like they can play different things. There's different stories with this character that you can do, I think. And the actress playing this character, not just very qualified and an excellent actress, but very much a PC Tunney favorite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Stay right there.
Leave it at that. Let's say if she does the Power Girl, if she wears dresses the Power Girl suit.
A very beautiful lady.
You guys want to see something scary on YouTube? Look at
pants back on.
No, look at AI creating Supergirl. Like Midjourney did this stuff where Midjourney does all these like different Supergirls from different nations. And my God, if you're not concerned about AI taking the jobs of artists everywhere and people like watch this video because I swear to God, I'm like, that's photorealistic. That's ridiculous. But watch it on your own. It's scary. It's wild, man.
So to what Tony said, it all matters. Everything matters based on what version of Kara are we getting? Are we getting Kara first getting to Earth? Has she been on Earth for a minute? That matters too, because she's a different person when she first gets there than as to when she has already met Clark.
We need to go through all of that. I think that needs to be part of Superman's burden, not just the foes he's fighting, but repairing that relationship. Dave, what do you, Dave, you're the expert, right? Like, that's what I would like from this. And I hope not just in like happens in one fucking kind of setting.
Let me throw one more thing at Dave before you go, because you are the expert. The only thing I can see of this movie that can possibly come out of it that'll make it worth it from a sensical standpoint is the possible, maybe necessary introduction of Brainiac.
Maybe. I think the thing with this is, like, Ray, you're talking about secondary characters, and why are we building universe around secondary characters? Well, because the MCU built their universe around secondary characters. Now, granted,
not the same thing. They didn't have access to all their characters.
Well, okay.
They had to.
Well, there's another problem. MCU doesn't have a big three like DC does. And I mean, DC's...
Just a big two.
Yeah,
just a
Cap,
big, I mean,
Cap and Spider-Man. And they
didn't, no, I mean...
No, X-Men and Spider-Man.
DC has the biggest of the big two. You say three, but like Wonder Woman's there, but like Batman and Superman are the two giganticest superheroes ever.
They're a different level entirely. But Supergirl is so intrinsically involved with Superman that... I don't know. I think James Gunn wants to kind of establish, he wants to follow some of the Marvel blueprint and bring in these secondary, these tertiary characters, Creature Commandos, Supergirl, some of the other things that he's thinking about bringing in. So I don't blame him for that. She's supposed to be in Superman. So I imagine you'll get her introduction at some point in the Superman movie, and then they'll go and they'll branch off from there. James Gunn clearly wants to focus on the Kryptonians, at least at the beginning. And honestly, we've talked about this with the MCU, right? We're looking like he is setting this up to mimic a lot of what the MCU did with the cosmic elements, with Superman, Supergirl, that sort of thing. And the street level, which is going to be Batman and probably Flash. And we're going to talk about another cosmic element in just a moment. So that's my thought, Ray. I'll put it out to you. Where would you want to see him go instead of Supergirl?
Well, first off, let me say this. Tony says the show all the time is a cooking show. So, and let me speak in cooking speak. Kara involved in the DCEU is lobster. You don't need it, but it's cool to have. Lobster is not necessary to your palate, but it's a cool thing to have, right? It's a bit of a delicacy. And I don't want to ever diminish your opinion, your feelings because you are a Superman fan. But I would implore you to, we can't literally do this. Maybe we can. You want to do a poll at Bandwagon Nerds. But the majority of Superman fans don't give a flying figgity about Supergirl.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
I truly believe that in my soul. A good portion of the not the diehards, but the casuals probably don't even know Supergirl. The majority of people don't even know Supergirl and Power Girl are the same person in different universes. So, like, I'm not saying she's not a big deal. She is. But she's not. Supergirl is not intrinsic to the success of the DC universe like the main people, the main Justice League heroes are. So you ask me what would I do in lieu of her. I'm not saying she shouldn't be involved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But if you're telling me that the MCU started, the first movie was Guardians, the second movie was Iron Man, and the third movie was Ant-Man, would they make money? No. Because you got to build to the point of these people being important.
Isn't he doing that?
James Gunn, no. He's just doing what the fuck he wants. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't
see. Why are you not leading with your most important people? Why are you not telling stories with the people you know? Yes, you can.
Well, he's already got Superman. DC. We know Batman's in the works.
But Superman's the second show. Third show, I'm sorry. Because Peacemaker technically is the beginning of the DCEU.
Creature.
No. I say Peacemaker because he's acknowledged that everything in Peacemaker is relevant to this, to his universe. I know Creature Commandos was his first in charge, but Peacemaker is still canon, so that I would say that's first.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't buy it, you know. And I think Gunn wants to get Supergirl's a big part. I mean, if you've watched, like, I'm not talking about like the Arrowverse version of Crisis on Infinite Earths, but if you look at the comics, the death of Supergirl is a major. There's two characters who die in Crisis. One of them's Supergirl in a major blow to the DC universe. The other one is the Flash. Those two deaths reshaped the entire DC everything. If he's going in that direction, then you have to make Supergirl as important as possible for the impact of her demise to be maximum effectiveness. If you want a Tony Stark dying type of moment, you get Supergirl right there involved right off the bat and bring her up.
That's blasphemous, my brother. And forgive my ignorance. Forgive my ignorance. I acknowledge his ignorance. I've read, seen, in many different versions, Crisis on Different Earths multiple times. I didn't even know she was fucking in it.
Was it Crisis or Final Crisis? It's one of the crises that she passes away in. But I mean, I still
remember. You're talking about that death moment? The only death moment that matters in the DC universe that would be on screen that matters is when Doomsday kills Superman. Nothing else matters to that level. Batman, they shouldn't. I don't want
Batman
it.
Batman died. I mean,
well, yeah, but they ain't gonna let that happen.
Tony, you're a big DC fan. What do you think about this, man? This isn't just me and Ray talking. I mean, you are a big DC fan, and we're about to tie in some more DC stuff, which maybe adds an element to this conversation that, you know, we weren't thinking about originally. But what do you think, man, before we move into the other DC story?
Hey, Sweet Cheeks, can you take my order real quick?
Well, Sweet Cheeks, here's my order. I had Peacemaker, Andrew and AJ and I, in a former version of Pod is War, covered the first season of Peacemaker, which was really good. I'm just sitting back and trusting. You know, I'm a fan of this character, and I think, like I already made my point, I think it brings depth to Superman, and that's what they need to do. I think he needs to have problems going on with him in the office, with him and Lois, with him and the bad guys, and with him and his family. That just adds, it just turns him into an onion, and onions fucking make millions and billions of dollars at the box office. It's true. I know you don't want to hear it, Ray, but I like it, especially since I think you can go a number of different ways, right? Like, you have Jason Momoa playing Lobo, and that's the main bad guy. What if Superman has to go help her win, and that's what causes animosity? There's so many different things that could play into this that, like, you need more than just Lois for him, and you not have Batman yet. So that's kind of where I'm gonna paint the silver lining, Ray, and I understand where your trepidation comes from, and I know we're all in the same boat of wanting this all to succeed, but that's where I'm at. And I know you want to clarify on something right here, so go ahead.
Everything you're saying, I agree with. I just think it's crazy to do it now. This is a phase two, phase three type situation, not a third movie we're talking about.
And maybe he, but maybe he doesn't want to exactly replicate the Marvel experience.
Oh, either. I agree. I agree. He shouldn't want to.
I'm choosing to believe, and you know what? I'm glad that you have a different opinion of it, because it'd be really boring if we all sat here and said the same thing.
So as of right now, before I know anything else, and you guys know how much I love Jason Momoa. I love that dude. I don't give a fuck about this movie. Now, I have zero interest about anything about this movie, because it makes no sense to me while we're doing it now.
You're going to have to watch it, though, right?
Well, I mean,
eventually, yeah, of course.
You got to watch what happens with Superman before you can really cast judgment and say, okay, what is here? And then if it makes no sense after Superman, then I get what you're saying. But let's talk about the other story that's going on, because this is big. And I think, like, Ray, you would have to admit that as far as, like, what am I looking for other than Supergirl? Green Lantern is what you're looking for other than Supergirl. And we got news about Lanterns, this series that has been rumored forever. Now it is actually starting to take shape and gestating. We know we've got Hal Jordan. We know we've got Jon Stewart. They're like, what, intergalactic cops on a mission to Earth or something? So I'm thinking Starsky and Hutch with power rings? I mean, this might be fucking fun. But now we got news that they have cast Sinestro. So now we know Sinestro's in this thing. Ulrich Thompson is going to play Sinestro in HBO's Lanterns. Now, I don't know how much James has got going on, how deeply involved he is in this Lantern series. I'm imagining, since he's him and Saffron are the grand poobahs of the DC universe, he's going to be very heavily involved in this, because if this series works and it's successful and it erases some of the stigma attached to this character because of the disastrous film, which is not Ryan Reynolds' fault, but that's neither here nor there. Green Lantern, of course, was a big element missing from the DCEU. And in my opinion, a big reason why it failed so spectacularly, you never had Green Lantern. He is, I mean, like Ray's talking about frontline characters in the DC universe. And when you remove Superman and Batman from the equation, which you have to, you're talking Wonder Woman, you're talking Flash, you're talking Green Lantern. You can make the argument Supergirl's in there. You can make the argument John Johns is in there. You can make the argument Cyborg is in there, but they're probably all of them a rung below the Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. So if you've got a big two, then you've got a big three, and then you've got kind of everybody else. Tony, I'll go to you first before we go to Ray. Like I'm saying, I'm seeing this kind of like separation. They're trying to build up the cosmic stuff. Lanterns is going to be a big moment. How important is it for them to get this? Because honestly, I think this is, it's more important than for them to get Lanterns right than Supergirl.
Yeah, I mean, it's all important. Honestly, like you're really, to me, you're kind of splitting hairs there. This is so important though, because this is a series, right? So they can pull from this in and out of different movies and grab different Lanterns, right? I love that they went with Sinestro to start with. You know, just the charming Lantern gone bad, you know, the Archangel falling from heaven and causing problems. So, I'm not really versed in the history of the Lanterns. It's not one of my favorite characters, but I completely acknowledge the fact that, honestly, over taking this journey on Bandwagon Nerds, and you guys know, I like to like play my character sometimes. I would say that Flash is definitely the fifth member of the Big Five. When you consider the totality of what everybody does, right? Superman and Batman are who they are. Wonder Woman is definitely bigger than Flash. And I think when you talk galactically, not that Flash doesn't play his very important role in a lot of the gigantic problems that they all have to face together, this is huge. And I think Ray can probably dive in here and tell everybody exactly why and exactly which Lanterns can be used to do what here. That's the cool thing for me is I don't know all the different Lanterns. So it's a great way for me to see it in the series before they pull it maybe down the line more in depth in the cinema.
And just before you go, Ray, just remember, before we even get to this show, we're going to see Guy Gardner going to be the first Green Lantern that we see in the DCU.
Nathan Fillion, yes. Right? With the bowl cut.
Yep, with the bowl cut. So he's going to be our first introduction to this Green Lantern Corps.
Speaking of him, if this is Starsky and Hutch, does that make Guy Gardner Huggy Bear? Okay, so yes. And most, if not all iterations of your core seven Justice League, the five you mentioned are the main, right? Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, some iteration of a Green Lantern and Flash. And I'd argue that Martian Manhunter is usually in every major version because he's kind of like the...
He's a sixth man. He's a sixth man.
Well, I was going to say his coach.
Until the new 52 came out and they replaced him with Cyborg, he was the man, the sixth guy. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so absolutely. You cannot tell. DC is intrinsically based cosmically because most of their heroes are aliens, right? Or most of their core heroes are either some form of alien or some form of...
Powered by alien.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, right? With respect to Wonder Woman isn't an alien, but I mean, she's from a different, she's a god. So same shit, right? So you can't tell that story without the Lantern, because the Lanterns quite literally are the connective tissue between every universe, because they are the cops of their sectors, right? And respect to Alan Scott, who isn't the same Green Lantern, but is a Green Lantern, whatever. So Hal needs to be there. And I'm glad it's an older Hal. Need John Stewart. Guy is there. There's so many Lanterns we could talk about. Kyle Rayner, Jessica Cruz, Simon Bass. There's so many we could really invoke here. Those, the two that we have, are super important because in most every modern telling of Justice League or DC, whatever, it's either Hal, who's the most legendary, or John, who's kind of the most popular in the sense because he's the guy we saw in the cartoon. He's the guy we've seen in a lot of the comics, you know, because Hal got so big that they just like, well, you do what you want. We still need a, that's why there's so many damn lanterns for the second.
Hal is the most well-known, but he's also the most flawed. Remember, he's the guy who falls into becoming Parallax and the Spectre and destroys his own city, Coast City. It's fucking him as a Parallax that. So yeah, I get what you're saying. He's the most flawed and the most vulnerable, which makes John even more important. And I'm just wondering if Gunn is going to go down that path of Hal falling into the abyss.
I hope so.
Know, me and you have talked ad nauseum about how we wanted to see Black as Night in some form or fashion.
Yes. I mean, somewhere down the line, yes. It's too, like you're saying, that Supergirl's too soon. It's too soon for Black as Night.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So starting off with Sinestro makes sense because Sinestro is a Green Lantern. Also, can I note that this dude looks like Sinestro because with respect to the leader who we're going to see on Valentine's Day, Sinestro got the biggest fucking head you've ever seen in your goddamn life. I'm talking like J.D. McDonough level big.
So I have a question for you guys because you know, the Marvel, the DC, we're going to get to the Star Wars, right? Whose whiteboard do you want to see the most? Feige's, Gunn's, or, well, it's not Star Wars because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Feige for what's coming up, or Gunn's? I think it's Gunn's.
Don't follow me on there, yeah.
I want to. Well, I'm just saying, I would pick, I'll go first. I'd give you guys a second to think about it. I would say Gunn because I would love to be like, see that tree, that bloodline tree we seen at the WrestleMania conference. Like, here, I start with Superman and I go here, and it's all, this is where I kind of want to go. But if you could see one of them out of the three for the future, for the next 10 years, what would you want to see?
It's absolutely Gunn's, and I'll tell you why. And there's no question, because, and call it bias, I'll accept that if you want to call it that. Everything Kevin Feige has done, and I know this is, we're speaking in hindsight because it's worked, but if you're just looking at it on paper, it makes sense because everything falls into the next project. I think, while you may too may differ, and I acknowledge that, you know, I'm not saying I'm right. I think everything this dude has done, is doing, and we know that he has planned, is literally like he's on ChatGPT saying, give me a random thing to do, and it's popping up. It is so, and I'm not saying he's not going to make it all make sense, because I trust James Gunn as a filmmaker. I'm not trying to sit here and say that. But this laying out of setting up the DC universe is the most random stuff I've ever seen. Which is what gives me pause. So I want to see it make sense on the tree and say, when we get to August 17th, 2031, this is why all this made sense. And I'm like, oh!
I mean, yeah, I think it's Gunn as well. And for a lot of the reasons Ray said, because we don't know exact. But I mean, you got to be patient. You know, if he's mimicking the MCU, then
I can't be patient with DC. Sorry. Can't be patient with DC. I can't be patient with DC or Warner Brothers because I know we've made too many wrestling references. I apologize. But I feel about DC how I felt about TNA. I gave them so many chances. I bought in so much. I got invested so much to the point where I couldn't trust them. And it's literally taking the WWE to grab their hand and say, we got you, little brother. For me to say, all right, I give them another chance. So I trust James Gunn with all of my heart, in my mind, in my belief. I don't trust DC. So you got to show me proof that this is going
to
work.
Yeah, but you want them to show it to you in like one movie, two movies? They can't do that.
No, I don't want them to show in one or two movies, but like he didn't just announce one movie. He announced the entire first part of his
gods
first,
and gods
forgive
and,
the term.
Gods and Monsters. This is,
yeah, Gods and Monsters. And none of that made any sense.
Right. This is a circular argument, Dave, because you're going to keep asking the same question why, and Ray's going to keep giving you the same reason. So it's just a wait and see kind of thing
Let's all agree. We're all interested in seeing what happens with Lanterns. It's a critically important series, I think, in the grand scheme of whatever Gunn is doing. If Lanterns works and it's successful, then you've opened the door to bring that character. I mean, Guy Gardner is not, you know, one thing, but yeah, Sinestro, because the one thing that the Green Lantern movie didn't get wrong was Sinestro's fall from grace. It's like, okay, well that actually worked. Parallax is a cloud, not so much, but anyway, let's leave DC behind and let's move into, you know, we had some bad news. We had some pretty good news, and now we're back to the shitty stuff because price caresis already had happening on at least two streaming services. We lamented the fact that these streaming services and the price increases keep happening, and lo and behold, Netflix and Discovery both of them increasing prices. Ray, are you surprised by this news? And who's the next one to bump their rates to levels where you're like, what the fuck am I paying for this for?
Amazon.
Probably.
They got the NFL, bro. They got the NFL. They have all these things now. And, you know, we already joke about how they put ads at the worst time. Well, now they have ad-free version, which is already more money. They have the NFL. They own basically MGM Studios. They basically own the rights to Lord of the Rings. They own the rights to, what's the other one?
They got Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time. They have so many big IPs.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast is now working with them. That's next.
It's own channel on there.
They
like
got the boys.
They stream Beast shit 24/7. Like you can go in and just turn the channels on Amazon. You can watch any Beast stuff, and then like the new shows that come out. Like Ray and I are on Beast Games. It's fucking really good. It's
amazing.
Shout it out.
And Dave mentioned they basically got to do with Image Comics now because of the Boys and Invincible. Yeah, that's gonna be next. I'm not surprised. It just makes me feel stupid, like the rest of us should. Like, what's the point of us getting rid of cable if this you're basically making a cable now?
Why are we surprised though? Why do you feel stupid? We've been talking about this. It's the new cable. It's just a different form, and it's all going to come together, and it's all going to come back around, and it's all going to find its way. And the only thing you can do right now is to get the plan that gives you the most available ports to access and share it with people. Take advantage of what they give you at the lowest possible price point. Like buy the 64 ounce ketchup. You get more ketchup per penny spent per ounce, right? Don't buy the 16 ounce ketchup, buy the 64 ounce ketchup. And you have to do the same thing in streaming right now, and you have to do it family style. No, that's it. I'm just saying, I agree with you, man. It's stupid, but you have to take it. The only way you can survive is by doing that.
I'm not saying I feel stupid all of a sudden now. I felt stupid the entire time, but they just continue to show you how stupid we were for believing in the new whatever.
And in what we do, we almost need to have every single one, right? Like we love to have that availability. Every single one of us that are on this show, whether it's us three and Patrick, the main four, or all the other tertiary people that help this show be as great as it can.
Yeah, and I think, Disney Plus raised their costs last year, you know, and I mean, if you got the bundle, it's up to like $22 a month. For me, it's worth it because like, okay, I can watch like ESPN Plus, I can watch the Capitals play a lot. So it's almost like it's way better for me than like NHL Center Ice or anything like that. But even just like the core stuff that the services are showing is now riddled with ads. And there's so many things that are add-ons that it's like, yeah, we've got it here, but you have to buy it. And it's like, man, you know, it used to not be that. But I think like you guys are saying, like Ray, you were saying, like you should have seen this coming all along. Should we? Because the thing was like when they started and it wasn't until all these guys realized how much money these streaming services were going to make because all of us migrated there to get away from cable. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, shit, we're making bank. Let's raise prices.
But also to add to that, a lot of these streaming services didn't have the IPs that they have now. Like, look at Disney Plus. Disney Plus literally bought Fox. They have a whole different set of IP now. And Amazon bought MGM and all this stuff. All these different IPs that they have now. When this whole streaming thing started, we didn't have all of the streaming services. There was a few of them, right? And then, like you said, definitely the beginning of these companies saying, these media conglomerates saying, oh, well, we need to make a streaming services, was because look at all Peacock. Look at all that NBC Universal has or owns. It's a lot. Look at all that Warner Brothers Discovery has or owns. It's a lot. Look at all that Paramount and CBS own. It's a lot. So it only made sense to make it, but they keep adding more stuff to their IPs. Yeah.
You want to know what's keeping cable alive and satellite?
All people.
Thanks, sports. Sports and ESPN. Literally. Literally ESPN. If ESPN left cable and satellite and said we're gonna pick an endpoint and we're gonna make a deal with Netflix or Amazon or Disney or we're gonna turn ESPN Plus and we're gonna raise the price, but you're gonna have ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, you know, on there, cable and satellite die.
The only reason I say old people, and I think that is a relevant part of it too, if you're 1,000% right. The only reason I say old people is because I have YouTube TV now. But I remember I wanted to, before my grandmother passed, I wanted to switch from, we had Xfinity, and I wanted to switch from physical cable box cable to a streaming version of still cable, but a streaming version of it. And I realized she ain't gonna know what the fuck to do. So I kept Xfinity because she knows how to use physical cable.
Do you have cable? Okay, so, but you, right. So Dave, do you have DirecTV or cable, or what do you have? I have DirecTV. Ray, you said you have cable, right?
YouTube TV, yeah.
YouTube TV, okay. If you could subscribe to the ESPN Plus app for $24.99 a month, and you get every ESPN channel and everything ESPN Plus offers, would you do that and cancel your YouTube TV / DirecTV? Because I would. Everything else is on streaming because it's connected to a network now.
Yeah, I have ESPN Plus, and I subscribe to every streaming service except for MGM Plus.
The problem, though, Ray, is because we both have ESPN Plus. You can't get SportsCenter or the regular ESPN stream on ESPN Plus or the app.
Right. Yes, you can't get news. You can't get ESPN on there.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. You must get it through your provider. But you get it through your provider because your internet is through your cable.
Got you. But no, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But no, I still would, because for me, I don't.
You got your internet through YouTube, right?
No, I have Xfinity internet.
It must be through there then.
But let me think about it like this. When we watch Max, right? If there's a show that comes on live on Max, live on HBO, you can't watch it live on Max. You have to wait an hour afterward. So that's like little stuff like that. If that changes, then that may be the thing that gets me, because I don't want to have to wait to watch a show. Like, perfect example, the show The Rookie. That's become one of my favorite shows that I watch. I know it's on ABC 13, so technically I could go to the ABC 13 is my channel, local channel, sorry. It's the ABC affiliate. I could go to the ABC affiliate website and maybe watch it there, but like, I got to wait for it to go off before I can watch it on demand. Cable, I can watch what I want immediately.
Or you could turn on the antenna and watch ABC.
Yeah. Well, that's ABC.
Break
but
out
that's
the rabbit
not,
ears, baby.
Right, but that, like, what if we're talking TNT or Bravo or whatever?
You remember appointment television. Remember when there was no DVR? And if you missed it, you fucking missed it and hope to God it was in a rerun, you know, like in the summer.
I do.
Tape it on
we
your
used to record
VHS
everything.
Or something.
You had a... Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Woof, man. I mean, it's the way of the world. I think Ray, you're probably right. Amazon could be the next one to say, "Hey, come on over here. We need to increase the price." We'll see what happens. But I think at this point, we're going to take our second commercial break, our second and final commercial break, before we get into news about two of the other big three that we cover here. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, and we are back here on Bandwagon Nerds episode 273. Really good episode so far. Good conversation going on between
273, you guys. Damn, that's a lot.
I know, that is a lot. So yeah, as I said, we've got all of the big three topics that we typically cover on this show, and we're going to go into the second of those as we're going to talk some Star Wars news. And a couple stories came out this week, both of them kind of interesting. Ryan Gosling, we know Ryan from his tremendous work all over the place, but he's always going to be Ken to me. So, but he is in talks to join Star Wars. And this is going to be, as far as Sean Levy's got an upcoming Star Wars movie, nobody knows what the hell it's going to be about. And that's kind of the fun part of it and the frustrating part of it. But Ryan Gosling is reportedly in talks to be in this movie. We don't know what he's going to be doing in that. But the Screen Rant article that I sent to Ray and Tunney has a whole sort of listing of people that Ryan Gosling could be. I didn't remember that he was in the running to be Kylo Ren instead of Adam Driver. And you think about that, say, that might have been interesting. But Ray, I'll go to you first. You know, and there's a lot of these characters that are listed in here. Most of them are from the Star Wars extended universe or legends or whatever you want to call him. But what do you think, man? Ryan Gosling can do just about anything. I think he'd be brilliant in any sort of Star Wars role. But what do you think? And is there a particular role that you want to see Ryan Gosling take on?
I think it's just dope that he wants to be or is going to be a part of the Star Wars universe. Interesting that he decides to do, if this is true, Star Wars instead of Marvel or DC, which is interesting. So you guys know I'm the least knowledgeable Star Wars fan here. I've never read any of the show of the books. I've never seen any of the animated shows, so I don't know Clone Wars or Legends or none of that. So I don't know a lot. I don't know any of those people that they listed except for one. And the one I know is the one that a good friend of mine kind of explained to me and basically pitched to me that should be the next trilogy of movies, and that's Darth Revan. So I like the idea. Now, for the record, Gosling feels like a Jedi. Just the look. He feels like a Jedi. He feels Han Solo-ish just in his look. And I mean, that's not surprising, seeing as he was Harrison Ford in Blade Runner. So like, they kind of have a very similar look, so to speak. But I like the idea of him going cricket and playing Sith, and the idea of another almost Palpatine adjacent Darth can be fun. Like, me and Tunney look you know, more than you and Patrick. Me and Tunney look very fondly on the 90s and 2000s trilogy. I love me some Darth Maul. I just thought he was the dopest dude ever, even though kind of got his ass kicked a few times. But I thought he was just dope as hell. The look, the double-sided lightsaber. So you give me something like that. It's almost wrestling booking that it's probably better now at this point to book your heel and then have the babyface come from underneath than to build around the good guy and then just have your 1980s monster of the week. So I'm going to go with Revan because that's a guy I know.
What do you think, Tony? What do you think, Ryan Gosling in the Star Wars universe, and who do you want him to play?
I don't know who I want him to play. I think there's a number of characters. It's hard to sit here and say that because what's the fucking story going to be? And we're still sitting here going, for crying out loud, Disney and Star Wars, whoever the fuck's actually the fuck main person fucking in charge, pick a fucking story and fucking go with it and let's all go from there, okay? Jeez, we've been saying that for fucking, it's almost, I can almost say years, right? I don't want him to be the main character hero Jedi. I think that's the worst place you can put him. I like the main villain that gets someone else, is my wrestling time, gets someone else over as a younger actor as the hero. I can also see him being the secondary Harrison Ford kind of character to Luke Skywalker, right? Like, the main character is a younger character and he's the older veteran that helps put this person, you know, into that place. So that's, I'll just give you the type of character I'd like to see him play as opposed to the actual character. How's that?
Yeah, man, you do whatever you need to do, Tony. You got no, I think the thing with Ryan Gosling is if he is going to come in, he's going to be a big deal. They're not going to bring an actor of his stature in. And I like your idea, Tony, about a Harrison Ford, Han Solo-ish, maybe a bounty hunter, somebody a little bit more grizzled veteran sort of thing.
A pilot or like a mystical man that knows the way or something like that. Like, I off the beaten path. Like, I think what here, I want to know you guys' take, like, from both sides, like Dave being the most experienced guy and Ray, I'm right with you as far as Star Wars goes. You know, I just have the phrase, it's all Star Wars behind me. What do you think if he played the main Jedi character, though? I think that's the last thing I want to see.
I think I like Ray talking about Revan. If they're going to do something with Darth Revan and his backstory, which, of course, you know, the whole story of Darth Revan is Knights of the Old Republic, which, as we know, was my number one greatest video game of all time when we did that a long time ago. And you play through the game before you realize, oh, shit, you're Darth Revan. And his backstory is fascinating. Yeah, he could be really awesome as Darth Revan. The other theories I saw that made some sense, him being Ren, the predecessor to Kylo, as far as the Knights of Ren, and kind of maybe him being a big part of of the whole of Luke's Jedi Academy faltering and that sort of thing. The other thing I thought of is, although the Acolyte failed miserably, it's spectacularly, depending on your perspective, the thing that got people excited was a fucking 5-second thing, just a 5-second viewing of who everybody suspects was Darth Plagueis. No confirmation of that. Nobody confirmed any of that stuff. This is fan speculation. And the only reason people wanted to see the Acolyte come back for a second season has nothing to do with anybody who was in it, but because they want to see that story. Ryan Gosling as Darth Plagueis, because just because the Acolyte is not happening doesn't mean you can't tell that story. And I think he would be awesome as far as portraying that darker character that you guys are talking about. And it really seems like, well, that would lend itself really well to our Star Wars, where we think they might be going. So that might be an option.
Do you think Gosling's interest in specifically that is the reason why they might have canceled the Acolyte season 2 and said, okay, we're better off to do this in a movie and just have this there? Like, you can still reference this. This is what actually happened, but we're going to move this away in a different kind of path.
They might. I mean, there was so much negative backlash against that series that maybe just saying, you know what, let's not try and continue down a path. We know this path is littered with potholes and problems. Let's go over here and we'll put it in a movie. And, you know, the story of Darth Plagueis might go very well if you've got the right person playing him. Ryan Gosling can do anything. I think, like, okay, if you wanted to, if you really want to tell that story, and you already know that the fans want that story told, that was clear from the backlash when they cancel that. So, you know, they want the story told. That might be a really easy way to do it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Ray's like, let's go. Let's go.
I'm game. I just want something new. Yeah. Give me something new.
Speaking of stuff that we got news of, and you guys, when this story first broke this week, I was like, all right, so there's rumors that Natalie Portman is going to return for Ahsoka season 2. And when the story broke, my initial reaction was like, for fuck's sake, how are we going to do this? She's not a Jedi. She can't be a Force ghost. That's out. Are they really going to make her a fucking clone? Which seems to be what a lot of people are thinking, that it's Padme Amidala's clone. And then I started researching it, and I sent you guys this article, which is utterly chilling and possibly very terrifying if they're going to go in this direction. Remember at the end of Ahsoka, where we got the Witches of Dathomir, right? And we got the Mortis gods kind of being involved. And Baylan Skull, who we know is already being recast. We talked about that last week, right? So we know he's being recast and he walks off into the wind, into the wild to do something. He's got some sort of agenda. This article from Screen Rant that I hope you guys had a chance to read scares the shit out of me. To be honest with you guys, that they're going to use Natalie Portman to bring the Star Wars villain Abeloth to Ahsoka season 2, which is basically what they could do with this thing is use the Mortis gods and their witch-like abilities to resurrect a zombified and very evil version of Padme Amidala, which would be, dude, I mean, it's, you want to talk about a gut punch. You guys love the prequel trilogy, right? I mean, you and Tunney love that. So I know you guys look at Padme differently than probably a lot of us do. How soul-crushing would it be for you guys, and I'm talking to you, Ray and Tunney, to see her come back, not as Padme, but as the incarnation of evil, to fight Ahsoka as something that these gods have manipulated? Ray, we talked about Blackest Night. This is Star Wars Blackest Night right here.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, first and foremost, more than anything, I'm happy that they're finally starting to let these people who were so ostracized, Hayden and Ahmaud Best and now Natalie, come back and get their flowers, because they were treated so terribly by the fan base for these movies. So number one, that makes me happy if she is coming back. Number two, I'm always here for a great big bad, because every story is only as good as its antagonist. So if that's what we're doing, I'm down, I'm cool. And Natalie, if you've ever seen Black Swan, she can play crazy. She can play that role fantastically well. My only question is, if we spent all this time with Ahsoka, even some time of Mando, building up to Grand Admiral Thrawn, and we get Grand Admiral Thrawn, why are we worried about this new thing now? Why is Thrawn not the guy that we're worried about anymore?
Well, I think he's still the ever-present threat. There's no doubt about that.
could be an allegiance for strategic purposes. Like, I'm completely okay with this. Like, I am. You nailed it on the head, Dave. It hits with people like Ray and I, and the age we were, and people maybe slightly older than I am, and a little bit more on the younger side than Ray, than the older side of me, connect with this. So, I mean, two was longer than it needed to be, but one and three were excellent. That's just kind of where I stand, but I'm here for it. I'm cool with it. And why wouldn't Star Wars try and bring a zombie-ish kind of theme into their realm? It's missing.
And to be fair, they have nothing to do with that, because we don't know what they're going to do with the Mortis gods, whether they're going to follow the books or
it
could just be that, hey, yeah, we cast Natalie Portman, but not in the role you think. It's just,
it could be a dream sequence.
It could be, but like this,
it could be 2.5 minutes.
And if this character has the ability, even if it's not Padme resurrected in zombie fashion, if this is a character who can manipulate and appear as certain ways, right? You know, and I'm like reading through this article, you know, we know that Anakin's a force ghost on Peridia, so we've already seen him there. Does this, you know, if he's trying to help Ahsoka, does this thing appear to Anakin as Padme to torture him in the afterlife? Or if they are going to bring Luke in here, Luke's never seen his mom. I mean, what kind of a fucking gut punch is that going to be if she shows up in this evil form to Luke and like, oh my God.
Padme's not a Jedi though, so how can she be a Force ghost?
She's not. But this Abeloth, whatever the hell she is, can manipulate certain
things. I think it's so dope that the witches were the coolest part of that scene, those episodes. So like to go into that and see kind of the witchcraft side, the witchcraft and the gray Jedi part of that back half of Ahsoka was like the most interesting thing to me, because on screen, maybe you guys that have read the books, maybe you guys that have played the video games, maybe you guys that have looked at all the secondary shows before this know about that. That was the most interesting thing to me, because that along with Mandalorian and the world of Mandalore were the newest shit I've ever seen in Star Wars in 30 years. I'm excited about that stuff.
Can we finish this segment real quick with what does the Mandalorian movie do? Where does that go? It's not just going to be a one-off kind of movie thing, right? It has to connect to something, or is that just like the dire straits we are at?
It will connect to Ahsoka season two. And like Ray's thinking, and I'm thinking too, you know, the witches of Dathomir, they were pretty damn cool. And we still don't know what they're loading into all those star troop or those star destroyer sort of things. We speculate these are zombified stormtroopers or whatever Thrawn's Imperial Guard was, right? We speculate that the witches brought these things back to life. And if that's the case, then yeah. All bets are off as far as what they may have done. I mean, you know, if you start off Ahsoka season two with the grave of Padme Amidala being vandalized, then all bets are fucking off and forget about it. We're going down the worst possible path you could go down for our heroes. At first I was like, fuck this. And now I'm like super excited. I said, where are they going to go with this thing? And Ahsoka season two is, I think that ties directly into the Mandalorian movie. Whatever happens at the end of that should leave right into Filoni's thing. We'll see, man. But I think that's a good place to leave it there. Speculation running wild, man. I just want to get your guys, because I know how, you know, what you guys think of Padme is a little different than what I think of her. But she was one of our favorite characters, all of us. And, you know, dying of a broken heart like that, right after you delivered Jedi twins. I mean, Tunny, the next story is something you and I are excited about. Because we talked Netflix earlier, our nipples are excited. We are getting season 3 of Full Swing coming February 25th, which I think is the same day that PGA Tour 2K25 or a couple days before that. So are your nipples excited for this one, Tony? Or are you excited about Full Swing season 3?
No, Full Swing is a great series. I want to use this opportunity, though, not only to talk about that, but TGL. On ESPN has been amazing. Tomorrow's Golf League, where they're hitting into this gigantic simulator screen and have this rotating green behind them, because I think it is kind of the future of indoor golf, especially in the northern states and North America, because you have nearly half the year where you're not even competing with golf courses where I live, right? And the main dig against going to the simulator is really short chipping is not appropriate and putting is completely stupid. But if you could turn around and do from 50 yards in or even just 30 yards in and putt and chip, it just kind of makes you feel more like you're playing golf. What really sells, and the reason I'm bringing this up is what really sells what we're talking about, Full Swing and the TGL, is getting the actual humanity part of these guys who play this game of golf, because you need to be so robotic when you're on the course. Because I'll tell you right now, the two hardest things to do in the world sports wise, one, hit a baseball, and two, be a under par golfer. These are things you just can't master without unbelievably amounts of repetition and practice. So to watch these guys and everything else that's going on, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an excellent third season. I think the Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy thing that they went through at the U.S. Open with Rory collapsing as badly as he did, that's going to be, and they always followed the trajectory, like you're saying, of some of our favorite golfers. And like last year, like Tom Kim, I didn't know anything about Tom Kim. He turned into now I like Tom Kim. Joel Damon, he's not near the top of the leaderboards hardly ever, but he's like an urban legend now because of this show. Everybody's rooting for Joel. Everybody wants to see Joel and his caddy succeed. Joel's like one of those guys who can pull off a bucket hat and make it look good. So I like Joel. Ray, I don't know if you've watched any of Full Swing. It's really a good show. I mean, it's along the lines of F1 Drive to Survive and some of the other excellent Netflix sports documentaries.
I haven't watched it, but you just said it. You basically said what I was going to say. Netflix and sports documentaries are excellent, especially their kind of anthologies where they follow people. They're excellent. Untold is one of my favorite series on all of television. They're excellent. So one of the things that I think that people who aren't golf fans don't realize is how competitive, cool, and interesting the season, the PGA Tour season, and these guys and their interactions can be, because like we think about it in football, we think about it in like major sports, but like we don't think about golf till Thursday. Most of us don't think about golf till Sunday because of Tiger, right? But to kind of think about what these guys are going through during the week, after, like before holes, after holes, and the walking of all that's really cool to me. So to have that shown, I think is dope.
You bring up a great point, Ray, and I don't think in any other sport do the competitors actually hang out and discuss strategy with each other than golf. Do you know what I mean? Like, really, yep. Doesn't matter. Like, if you, like, every guy's game is so different, and people are happy to. It's really an odd thing for a singular person sport for the most part. Like, granted, like the caddy is a big deal too.
But you're also not competing against other people, really. You compete. You technically, literally, that you are, but you're competing against the course.
Both. The best mindsets are like that, but the greatest mindsets are both. Yeah. It's why Tiger was so great, is because of the intimidation factor. People just folded around him, right. And that's not a discredit to them. It's a complete and utter credit to Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Well, looking forward to that. That's going to be absolutely appointment viewing for Tony and I, because I've loved the first two seasons. I'm just thrilled that they've got a third season. It's one of my favorite shows on Netflix. Let's move into our last story, because it's getting close to game time, boys. The last of the big three that we like to cover here on Bandwagon Nerds, Marvel. Interesting news that we got Benedict Cumberbatch, and what may or may not have been a spoiler, he let the cat slip out of the bag that Doctor Strange is not going to be a part of Avengers Doomsday. He will be a big part of Avengers Secret Wars. Ray, I'll go to you first. What do we make of this? He's like, basically Benedict said that Doctor Strange is not in Doomsday because it takes away from what's the main focus of that movie, which we don't know what it is, although we strongly suspect it's RDJ and his turning into Doctor Doom. So yeah, would Doctor Strange detract from that? Why is he not in Doomsday, but a major part of Secret Wars? Got any speculation, my friend?
I do. And here it is. Hawkeye wasn't in Avengers Infinity War, but he was in Endgame. I think the beauty of what the Russos do, and again, like I said last week, we know the Russos plays. We know we've watched the Russos coach so long enough, we know the players are going to run when they're going to run it. Leaving Hawkeye out of Infinity War was intrinsic, because just like, and to use a basketball analogy, The Celtics of the mid 2000s always say they never lost a series when they had all five starters. And when they lost to Kobe and the Lakers in 2009, Kendrick Perkins got hurt in game six. So they didn't beat the big five. The original six Avengers have never lost. They lost when they didn't have Hawkeye. I'm not saying he's the reason that they lost, but that is just a fact. So Cumbie not being a part of this movie leads to there being reason why they would lose. Because Cumbie is, quite frankly, with the exception of Sam, I'm not counting Wanda because we don't know what she's doing. I'm talking about, like, the people we know. Cumbie's the most important Avenger not named Sam Wilson, right? Just is what it is. So if he's not there, yeah, it makes it they lose. He's not there. Got all these new kids, Shang-Chi and Ironheart and Rhodey, who's what Rhodey we getting, because apparently the Rhodey we've known was a Skrull the whole time. All these different, these new people, yeah, we're probably going to lose. And then Cumbie comes in to save the day. And it is.
I mean, that's a good theory, Ray. I mean, I mean, we don't know what Doomsday is going to be about. It's going to be wild. I think that's the only thing that we know for sure. Tony, you got any thoughts as to, you know, are you concerned that Doctor Strange isn't in Doomsday?
No, I think we all trust Marvel, even though, like, some of us are not completely satisfied with the last couple years.
Stop you. You trust the Russos more than Marvel? Is that a fair statement?
It's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit where I was going. I'm glad you brought that up. And we talked about that last week, right? Like, the amount of people that will be coming back through, and the trust that they have and the familiarity. This is kind of a statement we made last week when it was talking about other Marvel related things. I don't think it's a bad thing, right? Like, we're just bringing back Avengers. Why does the first one got to have everything? You know, I mean, Secret Wars is going to be fucking epic, in my opinion. I mean, literally. Like, I'm not a huge Marvel guy. I love all the big stuff. I'm a gigantic Guardians fan. But I think this is going to be good. I think it's going to pay justice to some people that might have suffered in the COVID era, possibly as well. Hint, hint. But we'll see.
The doors of the church are now open. We are sitting around the collection plate because Pastor Tunney has just
Pastor
preached.
Pastor Tunney, I love it, man.
Do you want to know what PC stands for? Are you ready for this? I'm going to finally reveal it after all these years. It stands for pause.
The chair.
Chair shot.
Pause chair shot. Pastor chair shot.
It's an attack. It's an attack. I say pause. Everybody sits there and then you get the chair shot.
Ray just took his headphones off at that, man. I mean, we're not even going to get a bolus Hawkeye out here. So me personally, I'm not that worried about Doctor Strange not being in there, because for a lot of the reasons that you guys have said, that Ray said and that Tony said, it's like, yeah, we don't have to have everybody. I mean, it's a bigger impact when all these guys come back in Secret Wars, right? Everybody that we missed in Doomsday is going to be back, and you guys, all right, the whiteboards are coming out. That's a sure sign is time.
I mean, don't you think we'll get Cap Hydra in Secret Wars, stuff like that?
That would be Battleworld. Yeah, that'd be cool to kind of see that. But I do. But the question is, how much money are we going to throw at Steve? At Evans?
I couldn't think of his name.
He's already accepted the money because he's already there. So,
Be in it.
Yeah. Do we get like ScarJo? Does she comes back at some point in Secret Wars? I mean, you know.
The injustice she had during COVID. That was coming from.
The injustice she had on that SNL skit a couple weeks ago, man, that was rough.
Well.
All right. Yeah. I think that's good enough. Let's close this thing out with what you watch. And I'll go first, guys, because like only thing I really have been watching lately, Ray will appreciate this, Daredevil season one. Been watching Daredevil, trying to get ready for Born Again. It's good stuff. Like I was watching an episode, I think it's like, Ray, I got the hallway scene that you were talking about where Matt just goes in there to grab the kid that the Russians are holding and just, you guys are fucked. You just don't know it yet. He just beats the
shit. It's like 10 minutes, dog.
Yeah, just
it's
like
amazing.
Just beating ass for 10 minutes. When Wilson Fisk is standing there in the art gallery with the girl, and as soon as she says her name's Vanessa, I'm like, oh, snap. There it is. So I'm enjoying it very much. It's a really good show. I'm looking forward to going through the rest of it. So that's really the main thing I've been working on going through this past week. Tony, what you been watching, man?
I have been really busy. I haven't watched much, just the same old stuff. If you never watched Kill Tony on YouTube, check it out. Lots of Gordon Ramsay stuff going on towards the end of Hell's Kitchen. And football, man. Good luck, Dave. We're on the precipice of the Commanders game here. And while my predictions, I will stand behind them, I am very much rooting to be wrong in this game. I am a big fan of Jaden Daniels and of yours, my friend. So I hope your team wins, because none of it really matters to me anymore.
Yeah, me too. Obviously. I mean, if it doesn't happen, it's the first year. Like one of the guys on ESPN said, the Eagles better win, because the Commanders, this is the worst they're going to be for quite a while.
Amen to that.
Ray, what you been watching, buddy?
Well, you know, the only football I know that exists to me is Premier League. So shout out to my Toffees, Everton. We won 1-0 yesterday. So there we go. Boom. But in terms of TV shows, I am watching The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, the miniseries with Rick and Michonne. And I watched like 2 episodes of the Daryl Dixon spinoff. And I love Norman Reedus. I love Daryl, the character. That's tough to get through. But this one is really good.
Are you going to cry when Rick and Michonne get back together, when they have that moment of reconciliation or reconnecting? Or
so it's only 6 episodes. Once the show is over, I'm going to watch the final episode. But they get together in the second episode. And like, like most of the series is them together trying to get away from the CRM. That's not a spoiler. But I will say that reconciliation was pretty cool. As a guy that's watched from day one and read the comics, it was pretty fucking
Yeah,
cool.
I'm still trying to get caught up. I mean, I read the comics all the way to the end. And of course,
so then
the Rick being Michonne a comic thing, fan, it never happens. I mean, it never, it's
yeah,
Rick and
it's,
Andrea.
It's Andrea, yeah. I was going to ask, does it bother you?
No, it doesn't. It's a different element that the show went in. And they did, they're very much like the MCU. They took the source material and they deviated and did their own thing. And I'm fine with that, you know.
But even in the comics, the Michonne character is probably the deepest, most fleshed out character of all of the major, respect to Rick and Carl.
Right. At the end, you know, she's what, the lawyer in the Commonwealth, and seems to be like the sellout. And then she comes to her senses like the next to last episode, you know. But
I'm just talking about from the beginning, how she started off.
Yes.
What the governor did to her. The boom, boom, boom. And then was it Tyreek or Tyrese or whatever the black dude in their relationship, and like just her entire character arc in the just,
yeah, I mean, I love The Walking Dead comics. I was shocked when it ended like it did, because it just kind of came out of nowhere, even though Kirkman had been warning us about it for years. But whatever. Anyway, that, kids, is going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Hopefully next week our fearless leader is back to guide us through something. I mean, we'll see what he's got cooking up. But until then, let's go around the horn real quick. Ray, where can people check you out on social media? I know at Bolus Hawkeye is your burner account, but how about the other, like the good stuff?
It was drop that bow, but y'all made me change it to throw them bows. So that's the burner account. But you can find me on Elon's tax write-off at The Real C Platt, a.k.a. It's Me DPP, a.k.a. Wrestling Realist. It's missing an eye somewhere in there. Just pick it. Pick which eye to get rid of.
One. Yeah, pick any of them. They all work. Tunny, Mr. Chair Shot, where can people check you out at?
Follow me at PC Tunny. You know, you can find all of these beautiful podcasts on Chairshot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. And always use your head and head on over to thechairshot.com for your results. Like, we have the best results, guys. Stephen Mitchell and Andrew Belaz cover shit like none other. They add a little flavor with their opinion. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. And I want to shout out to, I believe tomorrow, as you listen, Dave, right? The Swaggies Part 2 will be up.
We are working on it, buddy.
So I want to shout out Kenny Killa. Follow him at KinnyKilla. I want to shout out Rob Bonnet, RBonne1. And I want to shout out Andrew Blaz, IWC War Chief, because yesterday was such a fucking excellent mix up of 6 people on this network that have similar and differing opinions on the wrestling world. And I thought yesterday was a great show. And I thought Dave did an amazing job at a thankless task, which is to manage more than four people in one podcast. And speaking from experience, Dave, you knocked it out of the park. So,
and against all odds, spoiler, we got a unanimous category. And no, I'm not telling you which one it was. Shocked the world. But as for me, you can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. On Blue Sky, it's at Attitude Ag Pussy, which is, of course, you know, the...
And it's Ray Cash Pussy, bitch!
Ray Cash Pussy on Blue
Sky. Not me.
No, it's not Ray. But you can follow me at Attitude Ag on X and on Blue Sky. Ray. Love you, Ray. I mean, it's the greatest handle of all time.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's real. That's the worst part. Real.
You know you shouldn't have told us that, right?
I know, and I'm offended I didn't think of it. And it'd be something, a
like,
bit
I should have
that
thought
I did.
About that myself, God damn it.
It's just the perfect bit, yeah.
On Facebook, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And, of course, make sure you are checking out Bandwagon Nerds at Bandwagon Nerds on Elon's Tax Write-Off. That's going to do it this week for episode 273 of Bandwagon Nerds. Until then, get out of the basement, get some sun, root for the Commanders, root for the Bills if you're so inclined. Let's get a Super Bowl that America wants, unless you live in Pennsylvania or Missouri. I digress. But until next week.
Or New York.
Or New York. That's true. Until next week, guys, that's going to do it. You all have been awesome. We will catch you next week for more nerdy goodness. So long.
Good job, sir. Yeah, keep it straight like that. Good strategy.
You know, the life of a carnival worker keeps me free and untethered.
I know. That's why I was immediately attracted to you. I could tell you were an outlaw.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of an outlaw through and through, baby.
Damn.
Good toss there, sir. Good one.
You know, society's got no hold on this outlaw.
Damn it.
All right, real close.
You know, I'm like a bird. Actually, more like a hard-ass pterodactyl.
Ah!
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.